Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Good morning, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. Here at Fernwood Studios this morning, we have Howe and Rainer James with us.
Good morning.
Hi.
Guest speaker here today is Mr. Jerry Egolf. We have called Jerry in to talk to us about the status of the North Carolina plan. And for those of you that don't know what that is, CCTA got involved in the fight against Common Core here in North Carolina. Kim Fink, chair of our Common Core committee, did a really good job of educating herself and the rest of us and gathering the facts and the information that we took to Raleigh and presented to the legislators. And we were invited by the head of DPI, June Atkinson, to come up so she could educate us some. And we kind of turned the cards around on her, and she got an education. Anyway, to make a long story short, during the process of all of this, Jerry, your group got together and came up with an alternative set of standards for Common Core. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, thanks, Rick. Hi, everybody. I want to set some things straight for our listeners before we get started. The North Carolina plan, we wanted to not only repeal Common Core, but we wanted to replace it. We didn't feel that just getting rid of it was enough, and that left the door open for maybe something even worse than Common Core if we let the politicians in. So we decided to devise our own plan. Two other retired teachers and myself, I'm a retired instructor, teacher, put together a set of standards. It was called the North Carolina Plan, and it was actually an implementation strategy. That was done under the auspices of another organization. And recently, within the last month or so, we've had a parting of the ways with that organization due to a difference in philosophy and a difference in direction. We're now the North Carolina Education Coalition, and the plan is called the North Carolina Education Plan. We've revamped the plan. It's more, the standards are actually stronger than what they were, and the implementation strategy is starting to come together. So I wanted our listeners to understand that, if there was confusion with the North Carolina plan, they should know that we're now the North Carolina Education Plan.
And it's great. The same plan, only better.
I'd like to think
improved.
So. The new improved plan.
Rick, I'd just like to add that we at CCTA are extremely proud of the work that Jerry Egolf and the team there did. And, of course, he's a member of CCTA. The rest of his team are people that we know and are friends with, but they're not from our area close by, and we've seen them in a lot of other meetings and things like that, but they're not really active in CCTA as such. But Jerry himself is, and I think that they just deserve a huge amount of credit for all the effort and the work that they've put into studying the standards, Common Core, and the other possible standards that could be adopted by North Carolina for its education. Just wanted to add that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Actually, Hal, this is a perfect example of grassroots effort at its finest.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because we traveled to Raleigh, and there were other grassroots people that had come from other parts of the state, and they saw how well prepared we were, and they started asking us questions. We started sharing information. Our email list started growing. There was a huge exchange of information across the state. At first, there was one or two legislators that even knew what Common Core were. The rest of them, even though they had all voted for it, had no idea what it was they had voted for. And after seeing some of the information that Kim was providing, every time we went, more and more were showing up. And before we knew it, they were very on board, and they had become very knowledgeable about Common Core.
Right, and we've attended every single meeting of that North Carolina Education Standards
The Academic Review Standards Committee. Review
Academic
Commission,
Standards. Right. Every single one of them, usually with anywhere from 7 to 12 or 15 people with us.
So right. We know what's wrong, but I was wondering, Jerry, if you'd tell us about some of the mindset and what went into and what things you considered and what things landed in the North Carolina Education Plan.
We knew there were an awful lot of standards out there that were used prior to Common Core by the different states. Some of them were very good, some of them were not so good. And in fact, I found a little bit of trivia that I found out doing my research is that prior to Common Core, for a few years before Common Core came in, North Carolina's mathematics standards were actually among the highest in the country.
Wow.
So, I mean, the question sort of begs, why did they change? You know, I think it goes back to what Sandra Stotsky said when she was here. You know, why did Massachusetts change to Common Core? And it was because the federal government gave them a wheelbarrow load of money.
Money.
Yes, yeah. Right.
But when we started this effort, the three of us agreed that we wanted the absolute strongest standards that we could find. We looked at so many. I think we reviewed over 3,500, probably closer to 4,000 pages of standards. We looked at Minnesota, who is supposed to have strong math standards, Massachusetts for their ELA standards, California. There were several states, and then we looked at Singapore, who's always among the world leaders in math. When their students get tested, Finland, South Korea, and even in England with the Cambridge curriculum. So we had a pretty good idea of what these different standards were offering, and we settled on two. We settled on the Minnesota framework for math and the Massachusetts Stotsky framework for ELA, the English Language Arts standards. And then we built on top of those. I have two wonderful ladies working with me. I can't give them enough credit. They've been wonderful and hardworking. Kathy Young is the math lead, and Linda Harper is the ELA lead.
There's an aside about that I found a hoot, in that Kathy drove a truck for a number of years,
yes.
And she has a sense of humor like nobody's business.
Yes, she's quite a character. Linda's a lot more reserved, but yeah, Kathy was a heck of a teacher, and once she retired, she wanted something else to do and maybe travel a bit. So yeah, she was a long haul trucker, and has a lot of stories to tell about that.
She certainly doesn't look like one.
No.
Well, Jerry, the standards you finally settled on, I understand they came from previous North Carolina standards that were tried and tested.
Some of them were, Rick. Yeah, we took, I don't want to use the term pick and choose, but we built on those two frameworks that I just mentioned. But then from North Carolina's essential standards, Singapore, other places, we took what was the best of the best. And Kathy really reworked the math standards, and Linda reworked the ELA standards from K through 8.
And I think they consulted with other teachers in the process,
yes,
did they not?
Yes, both of them being retired teachers, know quite a few other teachers, some still active. And that was an advantage that we had that, for example, the Standards Commission and others don't, because many teachers are hesitant to come forward,
mm-hmm.
and really talk about Common Core because they're fearful for, any repercussions that might occur.
Well, we're going to take a break here to hear from our sponsors, and we'll continue this conversation when we return. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. We're back here at Fernwood Studios with Howe and Rainer James and Jerry Egolf, and we're talking about the North Carolina Plan, an alternative to Common Core. And Jerry, you were telling us about the Greensboro Plan during the break, is where you actually got some of the ideas from.
Yeah, Rick. That was really the catalyst for the name, the North Carolina Plan, and really for a direction for us in addition to the standards. And the reason that the Greensboro Plan was attractive to us was back in the late 80s, Greensboro School District had started a project to infuse critical thinking into the curriculum, K through 12 and all across the curriculum, not just one or two subjects, and they weren't teaching critical thinking by itself. They were infusing it into the curriculum. It was a big success, but unfortunately in 1995, Greensboro merged with Guilford County and High Point, and they had a lot of other things on their mind with the merger and the reorganization. Some teachers left, some teachers came. But you can still, if you visit, as I did, the Guilford, what is now the Guilford County schools, and talk to teachers and administrators, it's obvious that there's a residue still left there from the Greensboro plan. Their critical thinking is very prevalent in their curriculum and the way they teach, and the attitude of the environment of the whole school district, or most of it, is pretty much along what we read about.
And I think you mentioned that some of the schools there are not necessarily in the high rent district, the high socioeconomic groups, but the children as students were still doing well.
Right. Rainer, we looked at some, one of the things that the commission and the State Board of Education and all were going to ask us was, well, where's the proof? You know, we know that critical thinking works. I'm a critical thinking instructor now for years. We know it works. Well, where's the proof? Mm-hmm. And when we looked at case studies of different schools to show data to folks like the Standards Commission, we found that not only were schools that were highly regarded anyway doing better, but even the schools with demographics of with a high number of minorities and you know, challenging homes and things like that, lower income, almost all across the demographic, people mm-hmm. Students were doing much better after going through a critical thinking curriculum.
One of the commissioners on Monday asked you if the standards would stand alone if you left the critical thinking element out, and you had a really interesting answer, I thought. Would you share that with us?
Ms. Oxendine asked if the standards could be implemented without the critical thinking component that we're advocating, and I said that you could, but it would break my heart, and
Jerry,
it wouldn't be as good.
If I might ask something, and I heard you answer a number of questions by the Standards Commission about what critical thinking really is. Now, they seem to have an elemental understanding of it, but you seem to have mastered the critical thinking and exactly what it is. And for our audience benefit, would you sort of define it a little bit? Tell us what you mean, basically, when you say critical thinking.
Hal, that's a great question, and it's one that we get a lot. I get a lot as an instructor in the previous life before I retired. But what we're talking about is a structured form of critical thinking. It was developed by Dr. Richard Paul, who founded the Center for Critical Thinking out in Sonoma, California, Sonoma State University. Over 35 years now, he's developed a philosophy and a really almost a psychology that uses real things. Critical thinking is not some, you know, Zen attitude or Zen mode that you put yourself in to think about your thinking. There are things that he recognized and developed, and starts with, of course, the standards. There are actually competency standards for critical thinking that have been developed and recognized by academia and the U.S. Department of Education. But then he added to those the elements of thought, things like purpose. What is the purpose of this thinking? And why? What are the questions that you should be asking? And how do you evaluate the information and implications and consequences, things like that? And by using the standards to augment the elements of thought, you develop, or at least you should be trying to develop, what he called intellectual traits, things like humility, empathy, courage, fair-mindedness, clarity, and so forth, so that when we think about a problem or we're trying to make a decision, that we're looking at all of the different aspects of that decision or problem so that we can make the best evaluation, the best decision, whatever. So it's a structure.
Right. In other words, you're considering all aspects and all viewpoints of a particular problem or question.
Right.
So in a class on another subject, maybe you would approach it by looking at it from the perspective of even diametrically opposing opinions.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, it's and sometimes critical thinking is tough. I mean, not to do critical thinking stuff, but what people discover when they start looking at other viewpoints and other perspectives and opposite points of view, some of it is pretty tough to take sometimes. You know, if you really believe in something and you find out that, well, you know, there is a different viewpoint.
It might be reasonable to look at it from a different perspective.
Yeah, and that's really tough for some people. You know, I know there have been...
An emotional trip.
Yeah. There have been times when I've looked at something like, whoa, you know, that's tough. But you should do it. It makes you, I think it gives you a much broader perspective, mm-hmm. but it also helps you grow as a person, you know, to really see what the other side is.
Well, Jerry, let me back up a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Back last year when we were heavily involved in the fight against Common Core, and the legislators passed legislation to actually remove the term Common Core from the state statutes. They also established the Academic Standards Review Commission to take a look at the standards and see what was wrong and what we needed to do and what direction to go. And as Hal mentioned earlier, we have attended all of those. But this past Monday, the Academic Standards Review Commission had their meeting, and you were allowed to present the North Carolina plan at that time. How did that go? Was it well received, or have you had any feedback yet?
I got home Monday night after the meeting in Raleigh, Rick, and my email inbox was full of messages. It went very well, to answer your question. The commission has a tough job, and I think originally people assumed that with some of the personalities on the commission that they would tend to want to tweak Common Core or, quote, fix, unquote, Common Core so that it might work better. I think they've come to the realization that Common Core is really broken and that there are some good alternatives. Back in March, Drs. Stotsky and Milgram, who were on the Common Core Evaluation Commission, and neither one would sign it because they didn't feel it was good enough, had testified as to its problems. And I think that was a sea change with the commission.
All right.
Because since then, they've been much more open to other alternatives. And they formed two working groups, one for math and one for the ELA. But on Monday,
ELA,
it's the English Language Arts curriculum, part of the standards, where it includes, of course, grammar and English and literature and those types of things that deal with how we speak, read, interpret, things like
right,
that.
Communicate. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Rainer.
I've also heard through the grapevine that a number of other states have been interested in and looking at the North Carolina plan.
Once the word of the North Carolina plan got out, a number of states have contacted us about them using the same structure, the same framework that we did. The North Carolina plan, now the North Carolina education plan, is free. It's going to be available via our website either later this week or early next week. And Tennessee, for example, we have allies and a good friend to our cause is leading the fight in Tennessee to replace Common Core. They are very interested in presenting the North Carolina plan to their legislature, or the North Carolina education plan. Wisconsin and Florida are also involved and are interested. And as of Monday or yesterday, there are some folks in Indiana that are also interested in it because their legislature sort of followed the path that ours did. And when they went to replace Common Core, they really did a rebranded job, and it's now a mess. So they're interested in it as well. So we're working with other folks. Like I said, once the website is up, the North Carolina Education Plan will be free to those that want it.
Jerry, it's my understanding that we are not interested in establishing a national education standard, anything like Common Core that's going out from the federal government to all the states. We don't want to be doing that, but we're willing to help other states and their concerns and help them to get going with something similar to what you have done. But I just want to establish the fact that we're not trying to do it on a national level and have everybody in the whole country adopt the same thing.
No, I think there was originally a misconception that a common national set of standards would have certain benefits. I think you know, the tradition in our country is that the states, the individual states, are in charge of the education as it should be. Mm-hmm. And at the state level, they even have a should have just an oversight role and let the local school boards and the local educational agencies control and manage and build the curriculum based on their students' needs. Man.
Make decisions closest to the problem.
Right. Amen. Right.
Well, we're going to have to pause again.
Right.
Another break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call as we continue our discussion with Jerry Egolf about the North Carolina Education Plan. Jerry, just what is this going to cost us?
You know, a lot of people are interested in the cost, and what we actually did was use the DPI's set of figures for what it would cost to maintain Common Core for the next, they did it for 7 years. Since this is a 5-year plan that we're working on for the North Carolina Education Plan, I sort of prorated that and proportioned it so that we're talking about 5 years as well. And their figures were like $441 million to maintain Common Core over the next 5 years. They broke it down into four parts: new technology, professional development for the teachers, materials like books and so forth, and then the actual curriculum maintenance and so forth. What we did was we looked at the new technology we're going to need as well. I mean, there's no way around it. Some of the schools are still, the individual schools and districts are still suffering from either a lack of computer equipment or old and outdated computer equipment. The state has put in a fairly nice backbone, but it doesn't help if that backbone doesn't reach the different schools. So we're going to keep the same figure for now of the new technology, but we think we can do a better job of managing it. Same thing with professional development. We want to pay attention to the teachers. Teachers often complain they don't understand Common Core. They didn't receive enough training or orientation in it. Plus, it was almost like trying to learn Greek. We have a plan to not only address that, but to hire more teachers. 240 new teachers each of the first 2 years of the 5-year plan. If we hit our most ambitious marks with training the teachers the first year or two, will only match what the DPI claims they spent on training for Common Core, but we should be under that by quite a few pieces of change. Materials, we think we can do much better as well, and put all together those four areas and comparing it with Common Core over the 5 years, we come in at about $68 million less than Common Core.
Wow, that's a good savings there.
Hey, Jerry, some of the commissioners asked a question when you said we were going to do this and we were going to do that. If you were asking for a job doing that, or you were lining yourself up for a job doing that, and of course you set them straight on that, and I think we should do that for our audience as well.
Thanks, Al. Yeah, this is free. The three of us have worked as a volunteer organization. This is all free to the state. No acquisition costs, nothing. We're not looking for jobs. We will certainly help with advice about the North Carolina Education Plan and so forth. But we are not in this for the money. We're in this to help the children and grandchildren of North Carolina.
Thank you.
That's good to hear. Well, Jerry, we've enjoyed. I hate to cut us off here, but we have run completely out of time.
Not again.
Yeah. So thank you for being with us today, and thank you all for listening to CCTA Wake Up Call, and we'll see you again next week.
Thank you.